Calling all cars. Calling all cars. Be on the lookout. Here comes the colonel.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Oh, where do they get the staff of mine around here? Always coming up with something. Well, we're really glad that you stuck around for the second half hour of The Promise of Tomorrow on their Science News Radio Network, exploring the business of emerging science, nanotechnology, open innovation. And, of course, I'm your host. I'm Colonel Mason. In the last half hour, you heard Ray Rapuano, the managing of Sparta Connected Real Estate for Cisco Systems, telling us about smart buildings. And we've talked about smart buildings a lot in this program. And but he's telling us exactly how it works and how Cisco Systems provides the equipment that makes it happen. So we're going to be back with him in a minute. And, of course, at the end of the program, listener comments and the voice of reason. Right now, let's step over to our fountain of useless information we keep here in the studio to answer today's query.
To the fountain of useless information, how can I help you?
Ah, once again, we're lucky we have the spirit of the fountain with us. All right, oh spirit of the fountain, here's today's puzzler. What was the fourth country to have a satellite in orbit? The fourth country to have a satellite in Earth orbit. Which country was it?
I have given you my answer. And now you may tell the others.
Oh, I wonder how many people this stumped. The fourth country to have a satellite in Earth orbit? The country was Canada. Canada? Surprised? Well, all right, now back to our program. In the last half hour, Ray Rapuano, the manager of Smart and Connected Real Estate for Cisco Systems, was explaining to us some of the reasons why smart buildings are so good, and we touched on security, but we also touched on the fact that it could save a lot of money, and we want to explore that a little further.
But if you think about it, corporations that have Cisco networks, when you access information from home to the company, that's like me being a service vendor wanting a portal into the building. Let's get all those service vendors on the company's portal of the building, and then you're going through a much larger enterprise network that has firewalling, intrusion detection, virus protection, and all the network protection. So you have a secure gateway of everybody accessing information.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually a cheaper model for the life of the building. It's a much more secure gateway for everybody to be funneled through one tunnel. And you can say, okay, well, what about them getting into my corporate data? Well, when you do the several things, VPN tunneling to access into the network, and then you have all these virtual LANs divvied up. It's like me working at Cisco. I work in a building where there's 9 business units. There's HR, there's corporate purchasing, facilities, sales. And before you know it, it would be detrimental if I could get onto the HR database, right, within our own corporation.
Sure.
And it'd be detrimental if I got into the corporate purchasing and cut my own POs.
Oh, yeah.
So you create these virtual networks within a network that are highly secure, and I can't hack and get into those,
okay,
even though I'm a Cisco employee and I'm working in the same building.
Yeah.
So we're going to do the same thing to make security at a high level. And so everybody on the call knows, Colonel, Cisco, you know, does a lot of military work, Department of Defense.
Mm-hmm.
And when we went over, initially went over to Iraq and Afghanistan, you had several military divisions with supply line contractors. And, you know, everybody had to be on the common network but have their own virtual LAN, so they could communicate between themselves. So if the Japanese went in, the Germans went in, the French went in, the Italians went in, they all had their own virtual network. But when our commander of all the forces wanted to do a broadcast message to everybody, he could open it up and talk to everybody. So we get into those types of levels, And enterprise networks are much more secure than a siloed deployment for a high-performance building.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes a lot of sense, Ray. You had prompted me before we get on the air about some examples of projects that you're deployed. You mentioned something about Ave Maria, the state of Missouri, Duke Energy, and Plug Journey webcast series. Do you want to touch on those?
Oh, sure. Okay. Well, we have, the Journey to High Performance Buildings, our marketing teams, along with Johnson Controls, have put together an educational seminar series that you could access by going on to Cisco.com and just plugging in Journey to High Performance Buildings, and you'll find a webcast series that you could actually attend. So thank you for mentioning that. But we took a lot of these projects, like the state of Missouri. We have, when you go into Smart Plus Connected Real Estate on Cisco, you can access a case study on the state of Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
2,000 buildings now over the last 4 years have been converged onto their enterprise management network for better energy efficiency to reduce operations costs. I've never seen this before, but the state of Missouri has actually reduced operations costs almost 50%.
Wow.
And energy over 30% now. They had originally projected, it was a combination of Johnson Controls, Taliesin Technologies, and Cisco. Cisco's networks, Johnson did the integration, and Taliesin is guaranteeing the energy savings by monitoring all their buildings from a big centralized location. So the network gave the capability of driving this sustainable platform. Without the network, it would be a siloed application, and you'd have to be logging on and logging off of buildings all day long. Well, 2,000 buildings, that'd be almost unmanageable to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So now Taliesin could see all the buildings, get critical alarms, be watching the big screens of what goes into alarm and what is out of compliance from the standards that they set. So keeping the buildings in constant compliance is paramount to the payback. Johnson Controls actually did an ROI for the customer that they estimated 19 months per building. And each building is actually running 14 to 15 months ROI payback.
Wow.
And then Johnson did an ESCO platform along with Taliesin guaranteeing the savings. So the state had zero money out of their pocket. It's a great case study, by the way.
Yeah.
And then that was where you have buildings that are 5 years old to 200 years old where state capital is.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you take old systems, converge them onto the network, versus a new building that was built is Duke Energy Building, the 48-story high-rise in Charlotte, North Carolina. The DNA of the building or the network was designed for convergence of 14 building systems, but it was also designed for futures. In other words, all of a sudden we found a new technology we want to put on, something new is invented, we want to add a new an existing system on that we didn't think of before.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, about 4 months before move-in, they started adding on crash barrier gates, parking, and irrigation controls. It went up to 17 systems, including the Siemens building automation system that manages the building, all on the network, all monitored in a centralized operation room within the building.
Mm-hmm.
But the facilities teams by Childress Klein can now manage and monitor buildings when they receive critical alarms from home, from an airport, from their hotel room, or from their office down the street. So we don't have to live in the building to keep it high performance. We can monitor and manage it anytime, anywhere, from almost any network device.
And all quite secure, all just totally secure, is that right?
That's correct. And it's all highly secure, just like you trading stock at Wall Street.
Mm-hmm.
It is that secure. So there's quite a few examples like this out there. all around the world. And the industry's starting to have a shift. So we started out by what makes a high-performance building.
Okay.
The industry, we have to get the design industry on board to promote this to owners, that Converge Network Solutions, building systems onto a network becomes a solution for a high-performance building. That is your platform. And again, the DNA is the network that enables us to monitor and manage and keep the building as a high-performance building. The last piece of the high-performance thing, Colonel, that I found was people.
Okay.
Changing behavior inside the buildings.
Yeah.
Having digital signs to promote energy savings, greenhouse gas emissions. We even have school districts that get from Cisco EnergyWise and Cisco Orchestrator kind of a big on in their lobbies, gymnasiums, cafeterias, and also on the school website, a dashboard that shows that, hey, we're saving so many trees through greenhouse gas emissions reduction. So I'll give you an example. The IT director or CTO, Mr. Fredrickson in Council Rock School District, they have 18 buildings, about 12,700 students, and 3 years ago started a pilot with Cisco EnergyWise.
Okay.
And that he started it, and they saved their first year about $300,000 in IT energy by shutting off IT devices.
Wow.
But they decided to do a student awareness program to change behavior in the school.
Okay.
And promote this through the school website, digital signs, and also have competitions. The superintendent of school made a competition that the school that reduced the biggest percentage of energy in 1 month got a free pizza night.
Oh, geez.
So changing behavior is huge, because that change of behavior took them from them operating IT devices and saving $300,000 a year to saving $7
million. Wow.
$7 million preserved teachers' jobs, put direly needed programs, it funded direly needed programs in education, and so forth. So a journey to a high-performance building starts with a business policy, goes through the design and construction industry, technology gets integrated, facility staff get educated and need to operate it continuously, and then we have to change behavior inside the buildings. And that's that journey that we're talking about. So if anybody wants to attend our websites, please go to cisco.com and you'll be able to see Journey to High Performance Buildings, or query that and you'll be able to see where we have them posted.
All right. That's fascinating, fascinating, fascinating. We see that we can accomplish this with not only the planning of new buildings, but with existing buildings too. Ray, this has been a real nice picture that you've painted for us. And of course, smart buildings are exactly the future, and that is exactly where this society is going.
Well, I think a big thing is, a question I always get is this going to cost me more money? So let's take the Duke Energy Building, 48 stories, LEED Platinum. Is going to be, you know, a 3-year start to finish project. You know, it reached LEED Gold through lots of costs. In other words, LEED credits. It's a point system from environment, water, air, energy management, and so forth, and get all these LEED points, and you get to a gold level. Well, and whether it's high performance glass or super insulation or green planted roof or photovoltaics, each one of those costs money, right, to get there?
Yeah.
Well, the network is already being installed in the building.
Okay.
Let's leverage that investment for several issues. Let's take first LEED points. The network is fiber optics, so vertical in the core. for this 48-story building. And we're going to converge a lot of the traditional cabling system onto one wire. So now our voice system, instead of having Cat 3 for a traditional voice system, it operates on the same cable as your laptop. Okay, video conferencing solution, plug it into any network jack, it operates on the same cabling system. We're not running coax cable. All these systems being reduced in copper infrastructure. Copper is a depletable resource. We get a LEED credit for preserving a natural resource.
Okay.
We get LEED credit for the ability to have a platform to continuously visually monitor and see all systems.
Mm-hmm.
We get a LEED credit for continuous commissioning. A lot of these are under the innovation, and we can influence up to 15 points. So we help a building that was gold go to platinum for zero incremental dollars. Okay. Second is people will say, well, wait a minute. How much more is it going to cost me per port or whatever? And I'll go, okay. If you wanted to run electrical to a building clock, what's it going to cost you? Oh, $850, $900 to run a pipe, a conduit, pull the wires in there, a junction box, and then plug my clock into it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
$850, $900. What if you went power over Ethernet? And the people are going to say, what's PoE? You'll hear this new term. We're going to take your Cat 5 wire that goes to your computer for network or networks your phone. That Cat 5e, Cat 6 wire could now carry the low voltage DC on it.
Okay.
That Cat 5 wire doesn't need to be encased in conduit. It could be plenum rated. In fact, most of the time it's not. It's just pulled in the wall and with a network jack, right? And you plug your computer into it,
mm-hmm.
or an IP phone. Well, that flexible plug and play is only a $350 a port versus the $900.
Okay.
And that's broken down into the PoE to put power on that port is about $180 on full retail on a Cisco switch, okay, per port.
Mm-hmm.
And then you add another $180 to pull the Cat 5e, Cat 6 wire during new construction. Oh, so you're going to tell me that for a school that has 100, 200, 400 clocks, I now, during new construction, go from 900 per location to 350? Absolutely. Overlooking the parking lot of the school or whatever. It's no longer $900, it's $2,000 because I get video surveillance to pull. And that's without the cost of the camera.
Mm-hmm.
And now, for the same Cat 5e, Cat 6 pull that you pull to your computer and plug in, you could now have a network jack up at the roof. You plug in the video surveillance camera for the overlooking the parking lot for $350 versus $2,000, one-sixth the cost of traditional deployments.
You're talking about all about low voltage stuff, right? I mean, all this stuff is low voltage, and it will work. But what about noise on the line? If you're running this to the same line where you're getting data and other stuff, doesn't voltage cause noise?
Well, actually, no. See, there's four pairs of wires in there.
Okay.
In low voltage, anywhere from, you know, like a phone of 12, 15 watts to a video surveillance camera of 11 watts to a wireless access point of 7 watts. These are not causing noise or harmonic distortion. And those devices only use the power that they need when they need it. And the Cisco switch only gives it the 24 to 48 volts DC when it needs it. It's not sending the power there all the time. So if you shut the device off, the switch port goes off with Cisco Energy Wise Orchestrator. So here's another holistic solution for you. You brought up a great question. Out of the four pairs of wires, two are controlling the device, two are sending video streaming, and two are for power, you still have two more wires left over for that camera. Okay. And Cisco quality of service, they call it QoS in our switching, puts voice always before it does video or data.
Okay.
So, but with the speed of the networks, we don't worry about that too often any longer, because the quality of service that is inherent in all the switching gives you a clear voice calls over, let's say you're working at home and you have a good quality network at home and you have a good quality system, like I'm talking to you right now. I'm talking to you from home on a Cisco router switch and Cisco phone. But yet my video is streaming, I'm on a web call, I am doing, you know, email, and it puts my voice first. So that's called quality of service. So we don't interrupt that quality. Great question, by the way. And then when you look at all this technology converging, besides the first cost, you have fewer service contracts for when you go from a traditional siloed approach. You have a lot more 60-month service contracts to issue. When you go to convergence in a high-performance model, you're not just saving energy on the building. You're saving energy on the IT networks, and you're shutting those IT devices off. And then you're also saving on operations costs. So there's the platform, this network becomes the DNA. The DNA becomes the enabler to reduce total cost of ownership, just not focus on one item.
Well, Ray, this has really been a fascinating study. I understand that you're making a presentation at the IEEE Green Technology Conference in Baton Rouge on the 14th and 15th of this month, and you're going to be down there making a presentation to the engineers and to the others that want to be there, and I know that we're really looking forward to seeing you in Baton Rouge.
Yes, Colonel, that's true. I'm looking forward to it myself, and I hope that I'll be able to shake your hand directly rather than talk to you over a phone line. And I'm looking forward to it. There's going to be a good audience there, the great program being put together.
Well, Ray Rapuano, the manager, smart and connected to real estate for Cisco Systems, you've been a very enlightened guest, and we want to thank you so much for taking time from your busy day and being with us, and we'll look forward to seeing you at the IEEE Green Tech Conference in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, the 14th and 15th. Thanks so much.
Well, thank you, Colonel. Thanks for the opportunity.
And now, we make time for the voice of reason. Listener comments, ideas, and suggestions.
You know, energy is an area that there's an urgency with our investment in energy that we maybe have not seen since the Cold War race, since the Manhattan Project. There is an urgency that we have. And it's not clear that that sense of urgency exists, throughout the research community, and that's actually one of the things I want to be able to convey. That this is the time, this is the place, and we basically need to focus our energy and our personal energies and focus our attention on these problems. And we've worked very hard to create an agency that's really ready to support the science and engineering community, the commercial sector, to really bring these technologies to market, because these are things that we need today.
This is Rajiv Brahm, Program Director at ARPA-E.
So you decide, has this really been the voice of reason? Listener comments are welcome at 214-329-4949. And please tell us your name and where you're from.
You've been listening to The Promise of Tomorrow with Colonel Mason, the definitive program on emerging and nanotechnologies, now archived and streamed on the web at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Join us next week at the same time as we learn more about the promise of tomorrow.
Waiting for you.